Hey, this...
oh, what is that? Chipotle bag?
This episode is brought to you by Taco Bell.
Close.
Home of the Mexican pizza.
If he starts making crunchy noises over there. Guys, we're back.
Yeah.
We are.
Oh, Parker's froze. Okay, he's back. Never mind.
No, you guys are all freezing.
Ah, okay, my bad.
Now we're back. We're back. Okay. All right, real quick. I'm not going to do a real intro, but I think we should just say this is the Eraser Podcast. I'm Parker Kligerman, joined by Mr. Race Control, Joshua Mendoza, and the Controller King, AJ Henderson. Guys, we took a couple weeks off, and now we're back.
Oh.
Oh, you got it still. Still got it.
Just on it.
Rain or shine, I'm the button-clicking guy.
That is true.
Definitely is.
Firecracker 400 coming this summer.
Is that a confirmation?
Yes. No, not.
No?
No.
No, it's a it's coming back. It's coming back. Just when does summer end?
I've been saying summer for months.
Yeah, it'll be summer. It'll be summer. It'll happen this summer. It has to happen this summer. So...
is it going to be sponsored by Blue Emu? Do we know if they want to come back yet? I think. Blue Emu, sponsor us. We want your Emu. I think
there's a good chance.
Oil product.
I don't know what I do with my Blue Emu.
Thank you.
I think there's a good chance, guys. Good chance.
This might be the blurriest you've ever been.
Yeah, YouTube, but we only see it that way. Don't worry. It won't look that way in the YouTube. I didn't watch the F1 race this weekend. Just gonna be honest, didn't watch it.
I did. It was pretty mid. I didn't watch Knoxville. I watched the F1 race. The race itself was pretty mid, but the qualifying was the story of the weekend. I mean, it was epic to watch the qualifying. They had a rained out qualifying. George Russell thought he was gonna be 5 head. And go out there on dry tires, and in turn one realized that that was a mistake. But other than that, it was pretty much. And then I think it was Alonso on a front row start for the first time since like 2012 or something like that. So it's pretty cool.
I did see all that. That's pretty awesome. I do have to check out that qualifying. I wanted to check it all out. The problem was obviously an off weekend, my last off weekend of the year, till we get to Thanksgiving. So I sort of tried to tune out from the racing world, which is hard to do, but sometimes you got to do it. But I was paying attention slightly on Twitter at times, even though where I was, I had terrible service. So it was very hard, but I did see that Alonso was on the front row and that it was a rained qualifying. And I was like, oh, that's good stuff. Who doesn't love that? I did see a little bit of Knoxville. That looked dope. They had both grooves going.
I saw a little bit of Knoxville as well. But Fox didn't see a little bit of Knoxville. Well, two flips from what I heard. Knoxville was way cleaner this year.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of track prep is probably most of it, but.
It really was. It really was. But I think, you know, the big thing there was they made a flat, like, well, when we first did this dirt thing with stock cars at Eldora, they knew what they were doing. Then we did Bristol. The first year was terrible. Second year, awesome. Same thing with Knoxville. First year, terrible. Learn the track, learn what the cars need. Second year, way better. Two grooves as opposed to one around the bottom. Todd Gillen wins it, which was pretty – I don't know. I didn't expect that, I guess.
Me neither.
Yeah, I thought it was – I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I heard about some of the stuff, you know, catching certain things, the broadcasts and that sort of thing. And look, I don't know. Standalones are tough. I can tell you.
Job.
No. And, you know, especially an off weekend for everyone else in the sport, that's, it's tough to have, you know, enough people and those sorts of things. So, that's just, the standalones are very, very tough from a TV production side. I think even, no matter what it is, if you're not with Cup, it's a really hard thing to do.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the last 3 weeks, we've had a lot of big races. We've had the Coke 600. We had Portland with the very first time that we, or first time in a long time. Was it our first time at Portland itself?
No, for the Truck Series had gone there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
So,
didn't the trucks go there? I think they did.
I don't know. You're the historian.
I know Arco's been going there for a while.
You're the old dude.
which, by the way, Portland, Landing Castle ran in the top five the whole day on speed. I know. So.
Yep. He did a great job.
And AJ Allmendinger from the back of the field all the way to the front. Epic running by him. That was pretty awesome to watch.
That's pretty cool.
He did an awesome job. That was cool. He wrecked literally on the pace lap and then for at least went off and then finds himself winning the race. What else?
Was that the last Xfinity race that we've had?
Yes, that was the last one.
They have 2 weeks off. Yeah. So all the Xfinity drivers will come back about 10 pounds heavier to Nashville.
This is going to be a busy weekend.
It's going to be a hot one.
Everything's running.
Yeah. And it's a hot one. My team has already been asking NASCAR, sending out reminders to the drivers to what the protocol is if you've gotten too hot. So we're all bracing for immense heat this coming weekend, which will be interesting. Thankfully, the trucks will be raced at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go.
That'll help. That'll help a ton. Except trucks. I got obviously. Well, this is the kickoff for NBC taking over the broadcast, and so I will be on the broadcast for Xfinity and Cup. And last year, I burnt my scalp at this race. Literally, the back of my head was burnt, which was a
you were wearing a hat.
Really unfortunate occurrence. Yes.
Was this when you ran Cup?
No, last year I was there. Well, I burnt my scalp from the sun. Is what I'm saying. It was so hot.
Oh, I got it.
They did a great job making Nashville like really pretty and nice, but it was literally just like that brand new, like pure like dark black asphalt that was just sucking
everywhere
the sun.
In the infield.
Yeah, the infield.
So it was so hot last year. I remember standing there and being like, "I am burning to a crisp." So that was unfortunate in that sense. But we also went to what's that?
Parker just went full robot on us. If we're talking over Parker. I'm sorry.
What happened?
We lost you for a second.
Am I back?
But you went to Sonoma.
Yeah, I mean, all those things happened, Indy 500, everything. But we were at Sonoma, and this is part, big reason why we were not on this podcast for a while, Josh, wanted to get into this because you were able to come with your family for unfortunate reasons. We had your brother's name on the side of my truck and then found himself across how many trucks was it there?
13 in total. 13 trucks.
13, including the winner.
Ran my brother's name. Yes, yep. Kyle Busch ran it. So we got to celebrate in Victory Lane with my brother who unfortunately passed away. May 31st was a big listener of the eRacer podcast, so we appreciated his support, and we appreciate the support of the NASCAR community. It really helped lift our spirits, even if it was only for a day. It felt like it gave us a little bit of a platform to, kind of try and, start to stand up on. So, but other than that, let's talk about Sonoma. Let's not bring the podcast down to a morbid, sad place. How was your race at Sonoma?
Well, I'll end with that with saying it was remarkable to see the support of the sim race community, all our fans at eRacer, this podcast, everyone that supported you the last couple weeks. And I felt like that was the culmination of it all to see your brother's name riding along all those different trucks and having that ride. So thank you all. And we do immensely appreciate it. It's cool to see the community rise up, and we've all, tried to be here for you and your family. And it was great to see you guys at the race. I wish I was the one who had gotten to Victory Lane there because Kyle Busch had us covered in the second half of that race. We were really good in practice. We were not good in qualifying because we missed the tire pressures by a pretty large amount. We got in the race and we were about a fifth to seventh place truck, sort of methodically moved our way forward, got to the top five, and just noticed right away, like we just didn't have what we needed to go contend against the top three or four. We know why. So basically we run a setup package on the road courses often that the series now all knows about because it's been pretty highly publicized when we've had a lot of speed. But it didn't work at Sonoma for us. And I wish we had made the change in the middle of the race. And we know what it was and we know why. And I think if we changed that, we were easily a top three truck. Considering we still ran, you know, Ross Chastain dominated the first stage. And then when he slipped back into fourth or fifth, we ran with him the whole rest of the race, right with him. And, you know, had some attempts at passing him and we're right there. So I know we needed about 0.2 to be better a lap. And obviously that's not hard to find, on an 11 corner road course with just a small adjustment. So I've been kicking myself and, for that one for a while, but we finished seventh and, it was, you know, overall it's a decent day in that sense. And we had a clean truck and we'll be ready for Mid Ohio on the road courses. And now we gear up to go to Nashville, as we were saying, guys, which last year, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, you said it was extremely hot at Nashville. Question, did they accept credit card at the concession stands?
Yeah, you know the last podcast?
Well, Nashville, there was the whole water thing last year.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember that.
The lines were big. The lines were big. That's what it was, I think.
Well,
But it seems like on social media, they're doing a lot to help it this year. So
they've
it should
learned.
Be way different.
Yeah. Well,
if they accept credit cards at the concession stands after you wait 2 hours for your water, that's a big improvement over F1. All right. Go ahead. Beanie Sorry. Boys. I'm still
well, the one thing,
about
wait,
that.
One thing we didn't F1. Mention. Yeah. We didn't mention at Sonoma, guys. Dale Suarez, who I was literally beating the bumper down in the last corner of the truck race after he filled in for Carson Osovar. Because those niche trucks were so fast, he was able to drive through the field to find himself up front. But he went on to win the cup race the next day. So I'm just saying.
That was pretty cool.
On Saturday, I'm hitting the bumper, trying to move him out of the way in the last corner. Cup race winner for the first time, 195 starts on Sunday. Not saying I had anything to do with it, but maybe.
I think what you need to do, Parker, this is pure proof example. You need to get a second citizenship at another country so you're eligible for Project 91 with Trackhouse. And then you get in the Trackhouse 91 and you go out there and win.
That's big brain stuff right there, Josh. That's why, you know.
There you
go. We'll see who you, we'll see who you run into this weekend and see if they win on Sunday.
That's
run into the guy that's running the Monster Jam double header. Did you hear about that?
I saw that.
There is
what's his name?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh, Camden Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Running a double header, the Rowdy Energy number 30 at the truck race, and then Sunday going out and doing the Monster Jam. I don't know. Is it a race? Is it an exhibition? I'm not quite sure.
I think Monster Jam, I haven't watched in a while, but I know for a while, it's still they do races where it's like head-to-head, and then they do freestyle.
Ooh.
And you get points based off both where you finish. So
it's very popular.
Well,
I want just a Monster Jam racing series. That's what they need to do. Monster Jam, if you're listening to this, I know how to make your product 10 million Twitter followers in a year, guaranteed. Just racing. That's all you need to do. Put those things on Spa, you know?
Yeah, that would be. I don't know if they'd make it a lap, but I don't think they had the fuel tanks to
Probably
make
not.
It a lap. That's the problem.
We'll
These things
that
have
out.
Fuel
we'll
tanks that are like 4 gallons probably, but they go through it in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is wild. Go ahead.
Monaco happened as well.
Oh yeah.
Let's not forget that.
It was a race. Yep. Yep.
It was a rain race.
Rain right? race, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That they delayed for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, for absolutely no reason.
None.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Anyways, yeah, and then there was no
Monaco.
Passing when they actually did it. And Valtteri Bottas was able to have all of his tires changed the entire day, which was great news.
That was an improvement. Yeah.
Yes, over last year. All right, so, carry on.
Alfa Romeo better than Mercedes confirmed.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to do the breakdown.
Baku happen.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I can't wait to do the breakdown of this podcast and be like, so what order do you guys fall? Oh, no, we jumped everywhere.
We just think of something and go with it.
I don't think we need to do a write-up. Just like we literally jumped everywhere for 15 straight minutes.
I know
no
we're missing
rhyme
stuff,
reason.
Too. Yeah.
Well, we could just name everything that possibly could have raced in the last 4 weeks, and we probably wouldn't be wrong then.
Did.
Hey, guys, British Touring Cars. Yeah. Did you see that one? Feat Supercars race.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
The Australian.
The
Electric Touring Car, World Touring Car Series race. E-Scooter. Where is E-Scooter right now?
Yes. That's what I want to know. AJ.
They've been off. They don't race again. They did two races 2 weeks in a row, and then they take like a month off.
You so found the July YouTube is their videos. Next event. You found the YouTube videos. Did
I
you
know,
watch
I need to watch
them.
Them. I
you
did not.
What? It's been 3 weeks. You've
He's
had
literally
three
failed
weeks.
So hard at this.
I know. I'm sorry.
We're supposed to be the e-scooter championship hub.
I know. I know. It's just
they're going to offer us so a team if we lean into it hard enough.
Next week,
E-Racer would be a good team name.
It's just going to be a 3-hour podcast
fine.
Of us
watch
live commentating the replays of the two e-scooter championship races so far.
If we live stream on Twitch, we are legally allowed to watch YouTube videos and commentate on them on Twitch. So maybe that's a good idea.
I don't know if we're legally allowed to, but that's a good thought. I like
what are they going
to
do? Sue us?
I want you to live tweet it.
No.
Yeah, I want you to live tweet it.
I don't want to do that.
All right, but at least give us some highlights. Make me highlight videos.
Okay, fine. It's just people riding around scooters in parking lots, man. It's
whoa!
Not that, it's not
yeah,
that
whoa, 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 whoa. What about wrecks, passes?
There has not been a single wreck. I can tell you that right now, okay?
Not a single
NASCAR
wreck.
Is just going in circles. F1 yeah. is just throwing not, money at a problem simulator. That
no,
e-scooter,
no, e-scooter is better than both of those. I'm just saying.
Okay.
People
you guys
get,
think I'm a NASCAR fan? Come on.
You,
yeah. E-scooter.
What?
E-scooter is the future.
It really is. Yeah, I agree. The last mile problem, right?
Yeah, with last mile,
question,
but racing it.
Since you're our e-scooter correspondent, if you have an if your scooter fails, can you rent one on Lime and bring it in as your backup scooter?
Like during the races?
Yeah, during the race. Can you get like a backup? Like, can your backup scooter just be the Lime that you found on the corner? The Lime
no, I think
scooter?
Like... I think it, you have to use it like it's a manual scooter and you have to like kick off the ground with your foot.
Oh, so yeah. you can't rent it so it has like the parking brake enabled. So you're just pushing against the parking mm-hmm. brake the whole time.
Yeah.
Actually, they should do it like it is in real life where like when we were walking around California the other day and there was two that were thrown into a
Flex,
into like
okay.
a creek from one company and then like one's like, you know, fallen over into a gutter and the other, there's another one that's like slammed into a, you know, where a door of a bar or something. And it's like they should sprinkle them around the track. So when yours has an issue, you can grab one that's been like slammed into the ground 14 times and wobbles all over the place and is highly mm-hmm. dangerous. And then
one's
like
spray painted for some reason.
Yeah, spray painted. It's like
going to your like, friend's house when you want to play video games. You get handed the second controller, and it's this weird mangled, like got Doritos dust on mm-hmm. it controller yep. and all that.
The yeah, like the joystick
the analog
is
sticks
loose.
Don't work.
Yeah, it's loose, and you're like, he's like, man, you're so bad at this. Like, I don't know why. Maybe because the joystick you just handed me is, you know, trying to move on its own. That was always so frustrating when you had the wrong controller.
Ah, yes, the old drift.
And then when you did win with it, it was like, I'm the king.
Yeah, you when you get handed the Mad Cats controller, you know you're in for
you're
on playing on hard mode. Yeah.
Mad Cats.
So I'm just thinking, you know, Blade Runner and all these dystopian futures, there's a significant lack of scooters. Just laying around these cities. You would think in these dystopian futures, there would be scooters littered everywhere. That just their entire topsoil would be just wasted scooters that have just gotten left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right, honestly.
And now they got, you know, in LA, they have like the half, and like Santa Barbara and stuff, they have like the half bike ones, half scooter sort of thing. It's like a bicycle. They have electric
bikes. Oh, yeah, but
it
has a little thing you can stand on too.
Yeah, yeah, like some have like a halfy half. And then like, the electric bikes is a big thing now. E-bikes were everywhere. Everyone has an e-bike store in California. So, like, you know, scooter competition.
Yeah. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. That's it. Or boosted boards and stuff like that. Those long boards that have battery packs built into them. Yeah. No.
Nobody wants Bitcoin anymore. They're putting all their money in scooters.
In scooters.
The Major League when you Boosted buy Board Bitcoin Racing.
Again, I'm poor.
Parker needs help.
How is that? I've been out for a while. How is cryptocurrency doing? Are NFTs still a thing?
It's still great for me because I can buy some now and actually make money.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
But not for Parker, who bought some 5 years ago when it was less than 100.
5 years ago would be amazing.
Okay, 2 years ago.
What are you buying, AJ? What the heck?
AVAX, Bitcoin, and Ethereum.
Hmm. I thought you said NFTs.
That's my jam. No.
Oh.
I'd maybe buy NFTs if I knew how to buy them.
That's a very valid point. Where do you even go to buy NFTs? Like, do you go to pulls out a flash drive and they're like, an NFT.
I go to OpenSea. I go to OpenSea and it's like, make an account. I'm like, oh, great. I make an account. I can buy them now. Then it's like, connect your wallet. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to go to this other app, make an account with them, and then magically put money into that account and then reconnect the account with OpenSea and then be like, oh, these all cost way too much money anyway. Okay, I'm leaving. Yeah.
That's a valid point.
That's a valid point. The problem. It's part of the problem. You got to, that's what's being worked on to make it more mainstream.
Yeah, once it's mainstream, I agree with you. I think it'd be a big thing.
There's still a really good NFT idea at Eraser that we haven't done.
I'm going to buy some Let's Go Brandon coin. I think that's what I'm going to invest in. I heard that one's on the up and up.
If I could kick you off the podcast, I would right now, but I don't know.
All right. I'll see you later, guys. Nice seeing you.
Okay, goodbye.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Parker, I did. Remember the whole Luna thing that went down and I bought $50 of it, then it went up to $300?
Yeah, you sold it.
It then started to go back down, and once it was at 150, I was like, I'm done. I'm cutting out. So I made
you tripled your money.
Off of it. Yeah.
Tripled your money.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bam. Love it. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. You did well. Mm-hmm. Just make sure to pay your taxes.
No.
What's the tax?
Just report.
I pay my taxes. I follow the speed limit. Okay. I'm a good boy.
Oh my gosh.
Like when I would give my parents a candy after Halloween as like the parent tax for is that how that works?
I think so.
Mm. Oh. Yep.
So do I have to send like a bunch of Kit Kats to the IRS or something? Do I write them and ask them what they want as far as like how many Reese's, how many Kit Kats?
Boys?
You gotta send them USD.
USD coin?
Yeah.
You can get like 9% at Voyager or something, 7% at Voyager.
You can.
Yeah, 9%. Yeah.
Put 9%. Your money in there and it's, there you go.
Great deal.
Wow.
Voyager, untethered from the whole crypto crash. They're doing great.
Yeah.
My other ones are not doing good. What was the one that everybody freaked out about because they didn't let people sell off or buy anymore?
Celsius.
I forget. Celsius.
That's the one.
I thought you were...
They have a lot of money locked up, and it looks like they might not have it to redeem. And then there's a couple other ones that have been providing huge interest that are in similar issues. You know, what it was just like leverage on top of leverage on top of leverage, which, when one's...
It's fine when things are going great.
The others fall, like, it's like a Jenga pile, and suddenly you pull one from the bottom, it all falls. So that's a scary thing, but it happens. This is the flush out stuff that gets built in that world turns out to be not great. It gets flushed out, and then we all start building again. So
long term is probably a good thing. That's what they say. Web3 they say you make money when the market's down.
Yeah. Well, it's here to stay because
money's made.
At the end of the day, it all centers around the idea of owning pieces of the thing you provide value to. Will continue to be a theme in the next decade. Guarantee it. So
absolutely.
Should we talk more racing?
Yeah.
What else is on you guys' minds?
Well, let's see.
I want to talk about how you still are not running Monday Night Racing full time, despite saying that you would.
So I was.
It's now been about 3 weeks since you've competed. I don't think you're allowed to be in the playoffs.
I know. I totally screwed up. So I was home. I had to miss two more than I thought I would. And then I was home this Monday, but I wasn't home till late, and I had to be up super early on today, and so I just and I had not slept really well the night before, and I just couldn't do it. So I apologize. I wanted to be there. I've totally messed up my full time effort in M&R. And the good part is, there's always next year, next season.
Yeah, Parker needs like a Tuesday night racing. He'd be.
I do.
Yeah,
Monday's
be much better on it. Yeah,
Tuesdays are bigger.
Just qualify for the Coke Series, and then you can.
That's what I need to do. Yeah, just drive. That's easy. Yeah,
but I mean, you're already a professional driver. What's so difficult about getting
to do
virtual?
Our cars do so well that, you know, Colin and Derek, you know, they're just having a hell of a season. So,
well, if it's got an e-racer sticker on it somewhere, it's bound to get ran into by another driver on track. We all know how that works.
Yeah, I don't get everybody is like, where's the Firecracker 400? We love e-racer. Where's it at? And then they run into our cars in the e-NASCAR race. So,
don't
like,
they realize that costs us? It costs us money to repair those cars, guys. I mean, how are we supposed to run a Firecracker if we're having to take all that prize money we were going to put towards it and fix our cars that you guys keep running into? Like, come on. Yeah. Let's consider this.
It's big brain stuff
right
there.
Ridiculous.
Big brain stuff. So, boys, I think we're out of things to talk about on this first one back, but I think it was good to come back.
Yeah.
We got a little fresh.
This is our shortest episode yet.
This is really short.
It's gonna be, but I think it's fine because I've also, I've been on video.
The comeback 3 hour podcast.
Yeah, well, I've been on video and podcast for the last 4 hours today, so now make it 5. So, I just don't have anything left.
4.5.
It's funny with 3 weeks worth of content, we all just somehow managed to like a race was. Covered in 30 seconds, like, you know.
we're getting in that point of the year for me where I'm starting to get like the motorsports fan burnout a little bit.
Yeah,
where, like, I'm watching so much of it that I'm like
motorsports.
I watched hockey while I was watching the truck race on Saturday.
Oh wait,
so it's like I need something else in my brain, you know.
You bring up a good point. This is something I want to get into on In the Wall one of these days. And I want to hear from people out there listening to this podcast. I have a theory that there is a correct amount of races for a race series. And that the numbers Formula One is talking about going to are absolutely not correct in terms of the max amount of
ridiculous.
Races for them. It's absolutely ridiculous. And
they're going to ruin
it's
that sport
funny.
If they do that.
Yeah, I think you can have too little. But you can also have way too many. And I haven't fully formulated what this number is, but I've got some ideas as to how to get there and to prove that it's correct. But there is a correct number. And
15.
No, that's 20. Too little.
No. No, no, no. 15 times at the same exact track every race.
No, there's 52 weekends, 52 Daytonas.
It's just Daytona every week.
If there was 52 Daytona races in a year, do you think that there would be, like, would you achieve where every driver in the series won a race at one point in the year?
If I've watched Carb Cup enough in my life, yes. Even the worst driver ends up in the lead at one point
eventually,
or another.
Someday.
Yeah. So every driver would win. All 36 charters would end up with a win by the end of the year.
Everybody would be so happy.
Yep.
And then the playoffs would be absolutely disastrous.
Oh my goodness.
The final four racing at a restrictor plate race.
So like, and if it was four different manufacturers, it would just be like Chevys versus... Oh, there isn't four, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you could have it, would just be like lines of pushing that main car.
Yes.
And protecting.
Yeah.
So someone always wanted to do this race idea.
Oh, it's like chess.
Yeah, where like you go, the all-star race could be this deal where you have like colored, you know, you have like the Chevy cars, the Toyota cars, the Fords, but it's total points amongst all of them that creates the win. So they're all working against each other. And like it'd be the most wild thing, or it's just like a red team and a blue team. But like how that mm-hmm. would play out would be so weird and wild.
Yeah. It's like they do that on iRacing, at the iRacing like World Cup or something like that.
Yeah.
They have different drivers from different countries, and like your team gets points based on where everybody finishes.
I love that. I think that would be so funny. So funny. But
I have some news speaking of iRacing real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say this. They've introduced restart zones into iRacing.
Oh yeah.
What? So they actually, yeah, they have legitimate restart zones in iRacing in the most recent update. So,
oh, this is huge.
I don't think it's
in
official races yet.
Oh, well, I got to go run some races with
it. I'm sure it will be next season.
I've had some issues with restarts at the bigger tracks this year and last year's. And so it's been really hard for me to work on without testing or being in cars more often. And, it's mostly only in trucks because of where the RPMs line up and such. But I've wanted, and I, one of the things, comments I made was that iRacing wasn't good at helping me get better with it because I could do it alone, but not like in a pack. Was that because they didn't have restart zones? Everyone just went when they went, right? So this would be interesting to see how it factors out. That's cool. Good news.
Yeah.
Love that.
Anyways, that was the news.
On that note,
yep, nothing else going on ever. Yep, all right. In the entire
I'm racing Nashville. World. I'll see you later.
Just that.
Food Country USA.
Next episode's going to be 2.5 hours long after we remember all the things we forgot to mention on this episode, but I hope your commute isn't any longer than 32 minutes.